Welcome to Calvary Community Church's weekend broadcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today as we knit our hearts together in worship because God so loved us.
Amen. We want to take another moment to welcome those of you who just joined us to our weekend broadcast here at Calvary. As we continue our worship this morning, I want to take a moment to address some of the things that are going on in our world, in our nation, even in our community right here. So I want to address a few of those things right now. The first thing I want to mention is the election that we've all been living through and watching and keeping updated with this week. I don't want to get into all the things we said last week. If you haven't had an opportunity to watch Pastor Sean's excellent sermon on this last week, I would encourage you to go back on our YouTube and watch it. And maybe even if you have watched it already, go watch it again. I know it'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. I simply want to do something else this morning, and that's this. I want to speak to two groups of people. I want to speak first to the group of people who are disappointed right now, who are discouraged, who things didn't go the way you hoped they'd go this week, the people who are bummed out about the way the election has gone. I want to declare to you one simple but important truth that I want you to hold on to as we go forward. And that simple but important truth is the reality that our God reigns, that Jesus Christ is seated on the throne of heaven, and his seat was not up for election, nor will it ever be. This is not a statement of apathy or ambivalence toward the very real realities of this world and of politics and of government. Far from it. It has been the historic declaration, the acknowledgement of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the ages, that whatever the circumstances, whatever the government, whatever the politics going on in this world, Jesus Christ reigns above all of it as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then to those of you, I want to address a different group of people, to those of you that are rejoicing right now, that are happy with the outcome from the election this week, that are excited about the election results that have been coming in. I want to say one simple and profound thing that I want you to hold on to as well. And that is the reality, the statement that our God reigns. That whatever power exists in Washington, D.C., whatever power exists in the House of Representatives or the United States Senate or in the White House pales in comparison to the power and the glory and the grandeur and the sovereignty of our God in heaven. That every single power of this world will one day bow their knee and their tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That one day Jesus Christ will return in glory to judge the living and the dead, and all of us will declare that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so if today you're discouraged, I want you to know that's okay. We understand that discouragement. But don't let your discouragement become despair, because Jesus Christ is seated on the throne of heaven, and not a thing will happen in this world that hasn't filtered through his sovereign hand. And if you are happy today, if you are glad of what's happened with the election, it's okay to be glad. We understand that. But don't let your gladness become gloating, because whatever power the person you got into office or wanted to be in office holds or has all sits underneath the power of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, wherever we are today, I hope we can all acknowledge this, that the world is going to respond to elections in a certain way, but it's different for the people of God. You see, the scriptures remind us that some trust in their horses and some in chariots, but we, the people of God, here at this church, we trust in the name of the Lord God Almighty. So with that said, I want to encourage you with that scripture. I want to point you back once again to Pastor Sean's video last week, his sermon again. I hope it encourages your heart. I want to shift over to another thing, though. Two of three things I'll address right now happening in our community, and that is this weekend. Many of you are aware, some of you may have forgotten, that this is the two-year anniversary of a really difficult season and time for our community here. 2 years ago, this weekend, or 2 years ago, we are remembering what happened at Borderline and the 12 lives that were lost at just a horrible tragedy. We're remembering Borderline. We're, of course, remembering the name Noelle Sparks, who was here on our staff and was part of our community here, just an essential part of so many of our ministries. We remember her. We remember the 12. We remember Sergeant Helis. We remember the people who died that day. And then we also remember that right on the heels of that were the Woolseyan Hill fires. We remember those fires and how disruptive and devastating that was for our community as well. And so we understand that for many of you, you've been able to find hope and healing and move on. But I do want to invite you, if for whatever reason you have not found that healing, you still feel anxious or twisted up about that, would you reach out to us this week? We would be delighted as a church to walk with you, to be with you in that. You see, if you're still struggling from those things, that doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you less than. It makes you human. And as humans, we ache and we hurt. And if you're aching and hurting right now, this church wants to be in it with you. And then the final thing we want to recognize is that coming up this Wednesday is Veterans Day. And each year we take an opportunity to thank veterans here in our church body and all around the world, those who have served. If we were here in person, we would have you stand up in the services. We'll do that tomorrow on our patio services outside at 9 and 11. But to those of you listening who are veterans, from Calvary Community Church, please hear our gratitude and our thanks for your service. Would you take a minute to watch this video? So once again, I want to say thank you to those of you who are veterans and to your families for your service to our nation. We are a grateful, grateful people this weekend. Let's take a moment in light of all of the things I just mentioned to go before the Lord in prayer. I'd love to lead us as we pray now. Father in heaven, I do thank you for the veterans of this nation. I thank you for the men and women who have served, the men and women who have given freely of themselves that they might serve and protect this nation that we love, this place that we hold dear. God, I thank you for them. I thank you for their families. And I pray that you would bless them and keep them, that your face would be upon them, and that you would give them your peace. God, may they know your peace and our gratitude. Father, we pray for you right now and your peace and comfort in light of the two-year anniversary of Borderline, of the fires that hit our community, of a devastating November 2 years ago. God, we pray that you would fill us with your hope, that you would fill us with your confidence, that you are good even in the midst of tragedy, that though the worst may come, you are with us through it all. God, we thank you for the healing that has come for so many of us. And God, for those who are still on this journey of healing, God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would do his good work in the midst of our hearts and lives today. Father, we remember those who are lost. We remember what happened. And God, we trust you right in the midst of it. And then finally, Lord, for an election that's been so contentious and still feels so up in the air in so many ways right now. God, we pray for justice. We pray that the right thing would be done, that your righteousness would flourish across this land. God, I pray for those who are discouraged, that they wouldn't be devastated over the result, but rather trust that you are still in control. And I pray for those who are thrilled with the result or happy with what's happened, that they would not put their trust or confidence in princes or kings or presidents, but rather their confidence would be in you and you alone. Help your church flourish as always, just as you promised, Jesus, you would build it. God, we pray going forward that Calvary and all churches would proclaim the goodness and the glory of Jesus Christ seated on high. And we pray it in his name. Amen. Well, right now I want to welcome up our Director of Local Outreach Ministry, and that's Trish Carruth, just such an amazing part of our staff here. Trish, thank you so much for all you do. I know this is a wonderful weekend as we get to talk about what's going on in your world and in your area, and thank you for the ways you serve here at Calvary. It's a blessing to have you on the team.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah. I'm so grateful to be here this morning, and my heart feels tender as we watch that video and as we remember 2 years back when our community was really struggling. And yet there are many people who are still struggling. But I think today as we gather, you're going to be so encouraged as we hear about how God has reached down to us even in the midst of turmoil and given us the ability to reach out to others. I want to draw your attention before we get started to our digital bulletin. You can find that by going to calvarywestlake.org/bulletin, or you can find it on our webpage or our app, the Calvary app. On that, you will see an area that says connect with us. If you're new to Calvary or you're visiting for the first time, we'd love for you to push on that button, fill out a little information form, and then we will reach out and get in touch with you, see how we can help you connect here at Calvary. The second button you'll see is the teaching notes. These will come in handy today. You're going to see a lot of things that are going on here in our community and around the world as we reach out to others, especially to the lost and the vulnerable, with a hope and love for Christ. There's also a button called Give. If you click on that button, you'll see that there are several ways to give. You can give online, again, by going to calvarywestlake.org/give. You can text to the number you see on your screen. Also, if you download that app, which is a wonderful resource, you can find a place to give there. And then you can also deliver your checks here to Calvary, or you can mail it in. I have two other announcements. Oh, before I do that, let me just say thank you to all those who give, because being a part of outreach, we see the generosity of the Calvary family. And oh my gosh, from where I sit, I am just amazed at how your giving enables us to touch and reach hearts with the hope and love of the gospel. So thank you so much for being such a generous church. Lastly, we have two things I want to announce, but they both revolve around the Disability Christmas Shop. We do a toy drive in conjunction with Action Ventura County, and that's going on now until December 3rd. So purchase a new gift if you'd like. Put it in a box outside. You'll see those boxes throughout our buildings, or you can drive up and deliver it at the front of the church. That would be really helpful. And you can find opportunities to serve at our very own Disability Christmas Shop, where we support families who have kids with special needs. So that's going to be on December 5th, and we invite you to find that volunteer button and sign up to volunteer. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Let's now, as we come together to worship, bow our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us. You loved us so much that you sent your Son to live and to die so that we might come into relationship with you through faith in that death and resurrection. We thank you, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we're able to go forth and take that message of the gospel as we live and love like Jesus. Father, we pray right now that you would till the soil of our hearts, that as Brian preaches and as Brian Field shares about all that Calvary is doing, that you would prick our hearts to want to know you more, Father, to serve you more, to take the word and to reach into our communities and into our world with the gospel. We love you. And now we lift your name on high as we praise you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, now and forevermore. Amen.
How I live for the moment where I'm still in your presence, and all the noise dies down. Lord, speak to me now. You have all my attention. I will linger and listen. Can't miss a thing, 'cause Lord, I know my heart wants more of you. My heart wants something new, so I surrender all. All I want is to live within your love, being drawn by who you are. My desire is to know you deeper. Jesus, have your way in me now. I open up my heart to you. I open up my heart to you now. To do what only you can. Yeah. Jesus, have
pray that you have experienced a touch of heaven this morning or this afternoon, this weekend. So let's sing, build our lives around Him.
Show me.
Oh, the poor power. And all the lost and lonely, and all the thieves confess, and know that you are holy, and know that you are holy, and all.
pray. Father, we thank you for that today. God, we thank you that we get to be ambassadors for Christ. God, that we get to be your witnesses. God, that your word said they will know you by how you love each other. God, we thank you for that great love that we get to fall back on, that peace that surpasses all our understanding, that is all from you. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, welcome everyone. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to Mark chapter 1. That's where we'll be this weekend, Mark chapter 1, as we jump into what we have historically called here at Calvary Missions Weekend. Usually right around this time in November, we focus on our local and global missions efforts and what God is doing in and through this church. And I hope to give you some perspective today on what's going on within our local and global outreach. I think you'll be encouraged and blessed. And Mark 1 is where we're going to teach out of today. I want to mention before I begin that we had every intention for Pastor Sean to be delivering this message, but obviously I'm here. Late in the week, Pastor Sean started to feel some symptoms of a basic common cold and has talked to his doctor, is kind of in consultation with him, but we decided out of an abundance of caution to have him stay home and for me to preach. That has been our stance, that has been our practice throughout this entire pandemic, that we want to do everything we can to protect staff and volunteers, and then eventually when we are out on the patio, we want to be able to protect those who are actually coming to church in person. And so we have every expectation that Pastor Sean is just going to do just fine, but you can be praying for him. We anticipate seeing him back in the pulpit soon. And then today, you are stuck with me. And so sorry about that, and looking forward to trying to encourage you nonetheless from the Word of God. So Mark chapter 1 is where we're going to be. If you have a Bible, we'll start in verse 39. Verse 39 of Mark chapter 1. It goes this way. It says, so he, and this is Jesus here, Jesus traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So what we see here is really Mark chapter 1 being this entire series of things that Jesus does at the very beginning of his ministry. And Jesus is encountering people and he's teaching and he's casting out demons. But then here's the thing I'm always going to want to try to point out in the life of Jesus. It would seem to me that Jesus always seems to encounter those who are broken, who are sick, who are hurting, and who are in need. I don't think it's random that that happens. Jesus encounters this individual who is desperate for healing, and it would seem to me that this is not a random occurrence, but rather something Jesus does. Like you could say it this way, that Jesus gravitates toward those who are hurting. He gravitates toward those who are in pain. He seeks out those who are broken and those who are lost and those who are in need. And in a world where it seems like we try to do the exact opposite, Jesus is this countercultural, counterintuitive figure who leads us as followers of him who are trying to live and love like him toward those who are hurting, not away from them. It goes on this way in verse 41. It says, Jesus was indignant. Now, when I started reading the scriptures, I always remember coming across verses like this and being really surprised with this teaching. I was really surprised that Jesus' first response, his first reaction to this individual who is in need was his anger. He was indignant. He was furious. He was outraged. And here's what I've come to learn to understand about Jesus. See, we have this picture of Jesus sometimes that he's just kind of this happy, laid back, chill guy who doesn't really seem bothered by anything and is always just doing fine. But that's not the actual picture we get of Jesus in the Gospels. The actual picture we get of Jesus in the Gospels is this individual who cares deeply and is moved deeply by the pain of the world. So when we see that Jesus was indignant, it's not that he was indignant or angry at this individual. It is that Jesus is indignant with the state of the world. See, Jesus, being in the very beginning, creation of the earth, understood how creation was supposed to be, how the world, how humanity was supposed to function before sin entered into the picture. And Jesus sees the pain and the brokenness, the twistedness that sin has introduced into this world, and it makes him angry. We've spoken at various times in various series even this year about anger and where anger might be an unhealthy or even a sinful thing for us or something that can lead us down dark paths. But I always want to remind us that Jesus was in fact angry, and the things that made Jesus angry are the things that should make us angry. See, what should stir our anger is not just us not getting our way or things not going the way we like. We should be stirred to anger when we see the hurt and pain and brokenness in this world. I'll put it to you this way, that followers of Jesus should have a holy discontent with the state of the world. As a follower of Jesus, you should look around the world and see what is happening all over the place, and there should be a discontent within you. And I call it a holy discontent, because this isn't just a normal sort of, I don't like things. It comes out of a place of holiness, out of a place that things are not the way they should be. If you're someone who often finds yourself bothered with the state of the world, you're broken, you're burdened for what people are going through all around the world and even right here in our community, I want you to know that that is Jesus shining through you. When you see an injustice happen, when you see a child who's gone hungry, when you see a family that is shattered, when you see something that is not right in this world and you are moved to anger, there's a righteous indignation that can be found there when our will and our desire is aligned with God's will and God's desire for this world. Jesus is indignant, and I believe those of us who are followers of him, who try to live and love like him, should be marked by a holy discontent with the state of the world. It goes on this way in the story. It says in verse 41, it says, he reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. So in this moment, Jesus is going to heal this individual, and the individual who had leprosy now no longer has it. Jesus does a miracle. Jesus does a healing. Jesus rescues this man from the ailment that he was going through. He meets that need. But I want to observe here, right here in the text, before we move on from this, I want to observe how Jesus does this. I want to observe what actually occurred, because it doesn't say that Jesus said, you are healed. No, it says he reached out his hand. And I don't think it's an accident. The gospel writer of Mark, under the direction of the Spirit of God, writes that he reached out his hand. Because when you look through the scriptures, you will see that there is a pattern of God rescuing, redeeming, and saving his people by reaching out his hand. If you remember the story of the Exodus of the people of God and slavery in Egypt and God leading them out, it says that God will save them with a mighty and an outstretched hand. In the book of Psalms, we see the people of God crying out to the Lord their God, saying, extend your hand down and rescue us from the pit. In the book of Isaiah, you'll see Isaiah looking at all the nations of the world who are warring against God's people and crying out and declaring that God will reach his hand out and judge the nations. And then perhaps most famously and most importantly for us, that when Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world, he was laid on a Roman cross and he reached his arms out willingly to have his arms and hands nailed into a Roman cross, that we would be forgiven, that we would be made whole, that we would be made right with God. God reaching out his hand to rescue and redeem his people, the reach of God over us, is the story of the scriptures. It is the story of the gospel. It is the story of how God saves us. That God reaches down to us to rescue us when we couldn't save ourselves. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like, God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were still sinning, while we wanted nothing to do with him, Christ Jesus died for us. Like, in other words, the great story of the gospel is not that you came to know God. It's that God came down and reached down to get you. See, I want you to understand this morning so clearly that God reached out to us when we couldn't reach out to him. God reached out to us when we couldn't reach out to him. And I want you to notice, it doesn't say that God reached out to us when we wouldn't reach out to him. It says when we couldn't reach out to him. Meaning in our sin and in our fallen nature, we had no ability to save ourselves. And God knew that. So he reached down to save us through the person and work of Jesus. I want to invite you today, if you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you've tuned into our live stream or you've stumbled across this YouTube video, or if somehow you're listening today, even if it's months or years later, I want you to know that the God of the universe reaches his hand out from heaven to offer you the gift of salvation. And if you would receive it by faith, repent of your sin, call upon the name of the Lord, say, God, rescue me and redeem me today. I believe on the authority of the word of God that he will save you and he will rescue you. He will reach out his hand and make you his own. The good news of the gospel is that before we wanted anything to do with God, God reached out to us. But I want you to see how this continues in verse 43. It says, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See to it that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now, I've always found this to be kind of a bizarre and strange part of the Gospels. We see it in other parts of the Gospels, but especially in the Gospel of Mark, you'll see this strange thing where if you grew up in church, you know, the answer is always tell people about Jesus. Tell everyone about Jesus. Go tell it from the mountains that Jesus Christ is born, that Jesus Christ is risen. And yet there seems to be times where Jesus says, just make sure not to tell anyone. And that seems strange, right? That Jesus does a miracle and then goes, shh, don't tell anyone. That's what Jesus does. And I've always been left with this question, and maybe you've had this question too. Why does Jesus want to keep the fact that he is the Messiah a secret? Why does it seem that he wants to keep it a secret? This is such an interesting question. I want to try to answer that question for you in the context of this story. So here's what I'm convinced of. The people at the time when Jesus was walking the earth, when Jesus was doing his ministry, had in their minds what the Messiah would be. The Messiah for them would raise up an army. What would go and conquer the oppressor, which at the time was Rome. And with the conquered oppressor thrown to the ground, they would set up a political kingdom which would rule and reign forevermore. And Jesus knew that about the people around him in that day. In fact, Jesus understood that if he said, I am the Messiah, go tell everyone, that people would start sharpening their swords. They would start forming militias and armies. They would follow behind them and try to march upon Rome and start slaying Roman soldiers. And they would have the expectation that there would be a political kingdom that Jesus would set up for now and forevermore. So why does Jesus want to keep it a secret for now? Why does later on he say, go tell everyone, but for now he's not trying to get people to really understand that he's the Messiah? Because I think Jesus understands this really simple principle. And it's true for you and me today as well. Here's the principle. If you don't understand the Messiah, you will not understand the mission. I'll say that again. If you don't understand the Messiah, you will not understand the mission. So here's the problem for the people back then, and maybe even for Christians now. They don't understand the Messiah. They don't understand Jesus. So they're not sure exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So see, if you think the Messiah is there to set up a political kingdom, you will use Jesus as a tool or a device in your political advancement. You will use Jesus as a tool or a device to accrue political capital and power to yourself. You don't understand the Messiah. So you won't get the mission. Or if you've come to believe that Jesus is here to offer you health and wealth and prosperity, and if you just follow Jesus, nothing will ever go wrong in your life, you have misunderstood the Messiah. And so you'll misunderstand the mission. Or listen, if you've come to believe that Jesus is just the rule giver, the teacher who tells you how to live and you're supposed to obey, you have misunderstood the Messiah. And therefore, you're gonna misunderstand the mission. See, Jesus knew that about himself. People didn't understand what the Messiah was meant to do. They were never going to understand what they were supposed to do in response to that Messiah. But here's what Jesus understood about himself. See, Jesus knew what his mission was, and he knew what the mission of those who followed after him would be. And later on in this gospel, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, he says that the Son of Man himself did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus understood that the ultimate victory wouldn't come through an army or through a conquering power or through a throne where he was seated in the center of Rome. No, Jesus understood that the ultimate victory would be found in dying for our sins and rising from the dead for our salvation, ascending into heaven and being seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. So how does the fact that we know the Messiah is one who lays down his life shape our mission? It means that we do the same thing. We live lives of sacrifice. We live lives where we bless others, where we give to others, where we are generous to others, where we lay down our life for others. We value others above ourselves. We live as Jesus when we give our lives as a ransom for many. Jesus did it in an ultimate way on the cross. We are called to do it in 1,000 small, tiny ways each and every day as we live and love like him. Because when you understand the Messiah, then you'll understand the mission. Goes on this way. This guy was told, don't tell people about me. And then here's what he does in verse 45. It says, instead he, and this is the individual who was healed, he went and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet people still came to him from everywhere. So Jesus says, don't tell people, but the guy goes and tells people anyway. And on some level, he missed Jesus's commandment, but on some level, you can't blame him. Something miraculous has happened. He has encountered God's hand that reached out to him, and he wants to tell other people about it. And while this individual didn't fully understand the Messiah, Christians alive today with the scriptures that we have understand who the Messiah is, and we are called to tell everyone. Like ultimately, the principle I want us to understand so clearly this weekend is what we see here in this story, that we reach out to others because God reached out to us. God reached out his mighty hand and he saved you, child of God. He saved you, daughter. He saved you, son. He rescued you from your sin. And because Jesus reached out to you, your call is to reach out to others. Because Jesus blessed you, your call is to bless others. Because Jesus served you, your call is to serve others. And that's the call for the individual Christian. That's the call for the church. You see, here's what our church is called to do. Our church is called to reach out to others because God reached out to us. And I want to talk to you for just a moment about how we are going to do that as a church, how we have been, and how we will continue to do that here at Calvary, at our church. But before we get in, let me put it to you this way. One of the things that we won't want to do here is just say, well, God reached out to us, therefore we'll just kind of reach out to everyone. And we'll just kind of throw money and resources and time and energy and creativity everywhere we can and just see what happens. So that's not actually the way we're going about it as a church. I'll put it to you this way. Just this week, I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was talking about the garden in his backyard. He was talking about the plants in his backyard. And I'll tell you, I know almost nothing about plants in the backyard, but I got into a discussion about it. And so here we are, and we're talking about the plants in his backyard. And he just started to describe this vine that was in his backyard. And then he sent me this picture. I'll show it to you here. You'll kind of see this hillside here, but this green that you see popping out, this is a vine that has kind of come all over the place. They just recently cut it back all the way to the stump, but it's grown out again. And here's the thing he was telling me about this vine. What he told me was this. He told me that the vine keeps growing and growing and growing, but there's no fruit on it. I said, what do you mean? He says, it just expands and expands and expands, but it doesn't produce fruit. It doesn't produce anything of value. And that got me thinking. It actually got me thinking as I was prepping for this sermon about what it might look like for a church to be growing and growing and growing in its outreach and its giveaway and its talent and its extraordinary creativity to do all of these things and be growing, but not actually produce any fruit, not actually give anything of value to the world. You see what he explained to me, and again, in my ignorance about all things gardening, is that if you just let a vine grow on the ground like this, it's not going to produce anything useful. What you need to do if you have a vine like this is you need to have structure for it. That's why you see vines up on a trellis. That's why you see vines growing onto something. Because when you create structure, then you can see fruit. And what I want to tell you this morning, Calvary, this evening, Calvary, what I tell you this weekend, Calvary, is this. I want to tell you that there's a structure in place for how we reach out to others. There is a structure in place for how we as a church reach out to those in our community, in our region, and all around the world. And there has always been a structure and a strategy and different ways we have approached this. This has never been a careless church that just randomly throws resources around. But this weekend, I want to introduce you to a new structure, a way, a framework that we're understanding the core values of how we do outreach here at this church. And so I want to briefly introduce you to the ideas, to this structure, to this framework that allows us to grow, that allows us to have this thing. And I want to introduce you to this word. And the word is reach. Reach is the framework of our core values, of how we as a church do outreach, about how we as a church who have been reached to, have been blessed by God, want to be a blessing to our community and to our world. So I want to walk through these quickly, and then I'm going to have a moment in just a second here with Pastor Brian Field, our missions pastor here, to explain a little more of kind of like how these things play out here at Calvary. But I want to introduce these things to you just real briefly and try to give you a small biblical basis for where they come from. So each one stands for something, and you'll see them here on the screen. Let's talk about R. R is restoring the broken, that we're serving the poor and the vulnerable and the oppressed. Serving the poor and being about the vulnerable and the oppressed, caring about the poor is not some political thing. It's not some sociological thing. It's a deeply biblical thing. In fact, if you think that serving the poor has nothing to do with the Bible, if you think caring about the oppressed has nothing to do with the scriptures, you have missed the heart of God in the Bible. I'll give you a few scriptures. Psalm 82 says this in the Old Testament. It says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. In the New Testament, Jesus himself is going to say these words, quoting from Isaiah. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Restoring the broken, caring about the oppressed and the vulnerable and the poor is a deeply biblical thing for our church to be focused on. That's the R. The E is empowering the church, that we would send out people, that we would empower the church, that we would send and plant and resource people. We would send out missionaries, that we would plant churches, that we would resource churches. That's what we want to do. We want to be empowering the church. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we're told this, that we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. That right from the beginning, Jesus's mission is that we would be witnesses to him, and that that witness would come through the form of local churches. Calvary supports local churches. We invest in local churches. We believe in local churches to spread the gospel to the very ends of the earth. The next one we'll look at is advancing the kingdom. Advancing this kingdom of God through partnership with organizations all over the world. You'll remember the Lord's Prayer at the very end, in the very middle. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we would see the kingdom of heaven advancing on this earth. And we want to be a part of that. We want to participate in the kingdom of God as God advances it and we walk with him in step with that. We want to see that prayer answered in this world as we advance the kingdom of God. The next is that we would care for children through sponsorship and camps and campus outreach, that we would care for the youngest among us, that we would recognize that the most vulnerable people in the face of the earth are those who are children. They're too young. They don't have the resources. They don't have the strength to defend themselves. And we as a church want to stand in that gap. We want to be the type of people who welcome children to us. In James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one unspotted from the world. Like that we're going to care about orphans, both physical orphans and spiritual orphans. We're going to care about those who have been left behind from the world. We're going to care about children. And then finally, the H stands for this, that we would be helping in crisis. For disaster relief and recovery, relief being when you come in immediately after a disaster and recovery being that long process of years after something terrible happens. It says in Psalm 46 that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And we want this scripture to be reality in people's lives as we go with the love that God has loved us to those who are hurting in their worst moments after disasters and pain and heartache and political unrest, that we would step in and help in the midst of disaster. So R-E-A-C-H, reach. Like I said, in a moment, you're gonna hear just a little more about reach. But before we do, I just wanna ask you a simple question as I name those five things. Here's the simple question. How are you extending your reach and the reach of your church to a world that desperately needs the gospel? What are you currently doing to be a part of this? What are you currently doing to live out these biblical values in your life? And how are you helping Calvary, your church, advance these things throughout the world? Because there is a world that is in desperate need of the gospel. And this year has proved it more than ever, that the only hope of the earth is Jesus Christ and him crucified for sinners like you and me. The only hope of the earth is the gospel getting out to everyone. My question for you is how are you helping extend that reach in your own life and in the life of our church? Again, like I said, I'm gonna have a conversation in a moment with Pastor Brian Field, our missions pastor. But before we get to that, I wanna introduce you to a new partner for us. We talked about advancing the kingdom through partnership. There's a wonderful new partner that we wanna introduce to you this weekend who's gonna help us live out these core values right here in our region. Would you take a look at this video of this new partner?
I'm Meg Gray.
And I'm Deontay Gray, and we are the founders of Urban Promise Los Angeles.
The vision of Urban Promise is threefold: reach a child, raise a leader, and restore community.
And we try to accomplish and fulfill that vision by offering a handful of programs. One is our after-school program, and then we offer a five-week summer camp. And then the program that we offer for our high school students is the Street Leader Program, where local high school students are paid to be the teachers, leaders, role models, and mentors for the elementary school students in the programs. Canoga Park is a lower income community, so just to be able to fill the need and help provide support to families who may be working or who may be struggling financially, to give them a safe place where their kids can come, they can learn, and they can grow from really leaders who grew up in the same community as well.
So a street leader is our high school employees that we pay to be the role models, teachers, and counselors here at our programs. And we started last year with 5 street leaders, and we've grown it to 11 street leaders that we now employ. They basically come here after school to be able to plan the entire after-school program for the kids in their neighborhood, and then they also are leading it. So they're getting a chance to actually practice their leadership, where a lot of times leadership development in high school is just like giving them the tools but not really allowing them to practice it. Our belief is that the kids in our neighborhood are the experts and that their leadership needs to be cultivated and needs to be celebrated.
I've been a part of programs where we get to come in once a week, maybe even once a month, but the depth and relationship that we're able to build here at Urban Promise, because we see these kids every single day, and it's an opportunity for us to model leadership and also model and express the love of Christ to our kids every single day. That is when we're able to go deep into the Bible with them, where they attend a weekly Bible study, and you know, we just get an opportunity to just deepen their relationship with God. By and large, all of our street leaders would be first-generation college students, so we're able to come alongside them and help them navigate the college application process, research scholarships, and really just give them the encouragement that they need to all in all envision themselves on a college campus. A couple ways to support Urban Promise is definitely continue to be in prayer for what we're doing here. And then some practical ways, of course, could be to come to program and volunteer maybe once a week. We also need mentors and people just to continue the journey with our street leaders. We'll always need fuel to be able to run this operation. So inviting people to become maybe monthly donors and sponsoring a student, sponsoring a street leader, or maybe even a classroom.
I'm out here doing things that I never thought I'd be doing. I'm 17. I'm thinking about my future and my college career. As much as Urban Promise has changed me, I think it'll change other street leaders. Just all my life, especially with family problems, it made me feel like I'm a nobody. But I feel like you just get an opportunity to become a leader. And it just makes you think that, wow, I am making big changes.
Wonderful. Well, I'm here with Pastor Brian Field, our missions pastor. And Brian, welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
And that was such an encouraging video. I mean, just watching that, just so moved deeply by that. This is one of our new partners. And maybe you could just kind of give us a little more on this particular partner.
It is. We're really excited for this new partnership with Urban Promise Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Getting to know Deontay and Meg. We've actually been kind of looking at Urban Promise for a few years and their model of how they're raising up servant leaders and investing into communities that are lower income and raising up kids and leaders through that process to bring transformation to communities. And they're a special couple. We've had them over for dinner. We've gone down there several times. We've gotten to see it. They moved across the country to come start this and plant this new ministry. The first one of Urban Promise on the West Coast.
Wow.
And it's amazing to see. They picked a pretty crazy time
do it. And yeah, starting right in the midst of 2020.
Right in the midst of 2020 and a pandemic, and yet God has already moved in really great ways. These street leaders we've gotten to meet, they're walking alongside them.
Incredible.
And pointing them toward greater opportunity. So it's been really great.
And it's just remarkable how this is working in some tough areas, but also with youth and kind of combining some of those values we really have. I mean, I was just talking through that reach framework and it's just amazing to see how this has really come together in this ministry.
We love it.
Yeah.
That fits in caring for children. And we are excited. You mentioned REACH is a structure, a framework, and Calvary's been doing missions and outreach forever.
And
we've supported so many great things through the years. We've always been a church that's looked outwards from the very beginning.
That's right. Yeah.
And have great partners. And as we look now at this REACH and this framework and this the structure that we're putting into place, it gives us the opportunity to begin to communicate
better
what we're doing so that we can share the vision with this church so that others can engage and reach in and say, hey, I can see myself in this area of restoring the broken, empowering the church beyond. Yeah.
And you, like you said, we've had a strategy forever, right? Like we've always had kind of strategies and this kind of coming together. Talk to me about the process. How did REACH come together? Because this isn't a thing we thought of last week as we were just kind of slapping this together. This has been something you've kind of had brewing for a while here, yeah?
It is. I mean, through our team, through conversations with executive team and our mission task force, as we've been looking at what are the ways, who is Calvary as a church? What do we value? How has God gifted us? How has he wired us as a church? And to begin to look at these things to say, we're not making some radical change about what we're doing, but we're able to take this as a framework and say, these are the things that we know that God has called us to. This is what we can be intentional about. This is
how
we can communicate it. This is how we can help make decisions
and
filters.
It serves as a filter for new requests that come in.
That's
does it fit really what we're trying to do?
Right.
And also communicates the wonderful things that are happening. Because I think for so many of you, you know that as you give and as you serve, you're part of something so much bigger. And for me, even seeing this framework makes me realize I've only seen a small slice, but there's so much going on in our missions world.
There is, And I think we should just jump in.
Let's do that. So the first is R, it's restoring the broken. Talk to us about that.
So restoring the broken, just at the heart and the value of this, and you said it so well in terms of our call to serving the poor, serving the vulnerable and the oppressed. And we live in a broken world. We've experienced brokenness.
Yeah.
We understand that it's a breakdown of relationship to God, to ourselves, to others, to creation, that sin has created this. And we're called in that as we follow Christ, that we're to go out into the world and into the brokenness to see restoration and healing. And so as a church, what that looks like for us weekly, we get to do our community outreach ministries that are serving with Angel Threads, food pantry, lunches of love, lunches to the homeless each week.
And that's continued even through the pandemic, right?
And it has. And we've had to move it outdoors. We're doing fresh market out in the parking lot, doing 10,000 pounds a week of food. And you know, we're led, you got to meet Trish, or some of you saw Trish, in our, who's hosting this weekend. And she's been a heartbeat for us, and her leadership has so carried us in this regard. And we say that life change happens in relationship.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And so when we go into these opportunities where we're meeting practical needs, we're doing all that in the context that it opens up avenue for relationship. And so we continue to preach this with our volunteers, with our leaders, is that life change is going to happen in relationship. And when we get into the lives of the broken, when we share our own vulnerability and our own brokenness, that opens up opportunity for relationship and the hope of the gospel.
You guys have said it well, that it's not that there's broken people and then us. It's we're all broken, right? And we're walking in restoration together through the power of the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
that's
all
beautiful.
All need of a savior, and we're empowered.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's R. E is empowering the church. And so we're talking about the local church, the local church being something we believe in and invest in. Talk to me more about that.
Sure. Empowering the church. This is a huge one for us, a huge value in terms of the Great Commission.
Yeah.
God had the church as his plan A to reach the whole world. And it's in the church that disciples are made. It's in the church where we're equipped, where we're in community, and where we're sent out into the needs of the community here and around the world. And so huge value for us is that we are empowering the church.
Yeah.
And we do that through sending teams, sending missionaries.
Yeah.
We do that through equipping leaders, pastors. We do that through resourcing indigenous leaders in churches where they can go and make an impact in their communities. And we've had some, over the past several years, a few things we've done. One, in missions for years, we had from the West to the rest.
That's right.
That Western missionaries were sent out to other places around the world to take the gospel, be on the front lines of ministry, trying to make converts and begin churches. And there's been a shift.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah, yeah.
There's still such a need for Western missionaries, and we support many that are going, training and equipping and multiplying indigenous leaders. But there's also been a shift through globalization and access to information, and where more and more nationals are being sent into their own countries.
Yeah.
And so we've had a shift from individuals to organizations where we're getting behind, where we're seeing places in the world, especially difficult places where that gospel hasn't gone, where people haven't had the opportunity to learn about Jesus and saying, what are some organizations, church planting organizations, where God is at work, who have big vision to reach a region that hasn't been? And we have two partners, really, that we've gone deep with in the last 2 years, and we've shared with those over the past couple of years, and you've heard stories. One of them is a name I can't even say just for security reasons, but we've been involved. They have an incredible vision to transform 100,000 communities
Praise the Lord,
South Asia.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've done a bicycle drive with our VBS and our church to provide bicycles for church planters to take them into unreached villages. And each year, annual support through our general fund, and part of the giveaway is that we're supporting a transformation center that's training up 25 church planters a year-long program where they're equipped, trained, and they're sent out into these unreached villages to share the gospel. And we had a story that came through during COVID, during quarantine, that I just thought was remarkable. There is a part of these training centers, because of the quarantine, they had to shut down and they couldn't gather, and they were all sent back to their villages. And it was tough, and they were trying to adjust and figure out how are we gonna continue to do this. And so they have cell phones and WhatsApp, and they began to do the training on WhatsApp. And one of the students that was in the training center did not have reception in his village, or it was weak signal, and he was trying to figure out, I want to be a part of this training. And he looked around him, and there's trees in his village, and he climbed up the tree and figured out that he had more reception if he was up higher.
Incredible.
And so he ends up building a tree house 30 feet up into this tree, and each day he would climb up the tree and learn on his phone where he had enough
tree
reception.
Houses for Jesus, man.
Tree houses,
seriously,
for Jesus.
That's incredible.
And what I love is that one, it's humbling to see someone who's so desperate to want to grow, to be ready to be sent out where there's going to be danger, there's going to be persecution, yet he's in this program to be trained and equipped to be able to go and do that. And our funds, even through our support, 25 a year are going out. Those they end up averaging 3 to 5 churches that they plant each.
Each church planter, 3 to 5 churches.
So in terms of even our funding of this, we're getting to see 75 new churches.
Incredible.
A year.
Incredible.
That are being planted.
And that's through the faithful giving of folks here at Calvary that supports this ministry to plant churches. That's pretty remarkable. So you said two organizations.
Yeah. One other is Elam Ministry in the region of Iran.
Yeah.
And you and I got to go last fall with Pastor Sean, Pastor Jeremy, and got to spend time with Pastor Farshid, who was in prison for 5 years.
Yeah.
We prayed for him. Incredible man of God.
Yeah.
And so we've been supporting this ministry as well, and the church in Iran continues to grow, even amidst such difficulty in a closed nation. Really amazing is that we have a woman at our church named Rosanna, who's been volunteering faithfully with us for years in our care department. She led a Bible study for Farsi speaking speakers at the church.
Yeah.
We've done baptisms over the
right
past
here. We've
several
seen
years,
some of those,
and Rosanna has been involved in
That's
several
right.
baptisms
That's right.
from individuals of Islamic descent.
Yeah.
And
Beautiful.
So through our partnership with Elam, we made this connection with Rosanna, and they've never done this, but they asked her here in the U.S. if she would be involved in discipleship for them inside the country.
Wow.
And so for the last year, she's been doing a discipleship program called Safar, which means journey.
Yeah.
She's FaceTiming what's
happening,
and she's discipling 7-8 Iranian women right now. Some.
Wow.
New believers that go through the first 100 days of their journey, and then they begin discipling. She's also those that are still Muslim that are looking at Jesus.
Sharing Jesus,
And I just spoke with her again this week. She's on fire. She is an evangelist. She's a discipler.
Yeah.
Her passion is to be able to do this discipleship, and she's doing it every single day. And amazing to see just right here, even at Calvary, that we're having this direct impact into the country, and it's really exciting.
It's incredible.
So that's a bit of an empowering.
Amazing, yeah. You can tell he's passionate about all these. And then the next is advancing the kingdom. And advancing the kingdom was one you really wanted to focus on and really make sure we kind of played out here. Advancing the kingdom kind of being at the core of almost all of these.
Sure, it is. And we call it the ribbon that sort of ties all these values together.
Yeah.
And we do that advancing the kingdom through partnership, like Elam, like Impart. We support incredible ministries all over the world.
Yeah.
And so advancing the kingdom is kind of, we love that it's at the heart of reach and in the very middle, because it is that thread that runs through these partnerships and, or these values. And so that's kind of at the heart of what we are, is all that we do in empowering the church, in restoring the broken, caring for children, helping in crisis, that all these things are moving us towards that advancing.
Yeah. That God's kingdom would come on earth, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer.
Yep.
Now C is caring for children. Talk to us about that.
Sure. So you spoke about it well, and the scripture of following in the footsteps of Jesus who cared. He said, let the little children come to me, and unless you have the faith of a child, you
cannot
come.
Yeah, that's right,
Even as we look at it from a Great Commission standpoint, knowing that that most people come to faith between the ages of 4 and 14.
I'm sure many of us listening here
came to faith at that time.
Yeah, that's right.
And so from that place, we want to be able to reach children at a young age, that they can come to know Jesus at an early age. This is a value of this church that we've invested into our youth.
That's right,
We see it's what we do from our VBS to our children's ministries to high school and your leadership and all that's happened. God has moved through the hearts of children, gives us the opportunity to even reach their families.
That's right. So we've seen that.
We see it as strategic from a Great Commission perspective, but also children around the world and in impoverished countries are the most vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so through child sponsorship, we're able to, and we have that in 8 different locations, offer opportunities for education, for basic needs of food, for a loving environment and discipleship, and just to come around children, to give them that opportunity in life. Yeah.
To raise up a generation
of
people who know Jesus,
We invest into camp ministries, Zimbabwe, Israel, Spain, Hume Lake this year.
Yeah.
Through COVID, even they were struggling with no campers.
Yeah.
And so we were able, through our giveaway, to make a significant support to keep Hume Lake going, because we value children.
That's right.
And we're going to continue to do that. I want to mention just foster support as well. We have partnership with James Storehouse, and we've had other opportunities within that foster world. And when we can begin to address this problem in our community, it actually alleviates other problems of homelessness, of sex trafficking, of incarceration.
Wow.
And it's a root. I think statistics show a great percentage of those that leave the system that haven't had that support end up in those things.
Yeah,
and so we're making more efforts in that regard as well with foster.
Beautiful, beautiful. Then the final is helping in crisis, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I had that picture of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
And they're in the fire.
Yeah.
And you see this fourth image in King Nebuchadnezzar, and it says it looks like a sons of God.
Yeah, that's right. That's
who
we
believe and know to be Jesus
that's
walking
right.
in the fire.
That's right.
And I see that similarly in our approach.
Yeah.
We've had literal fires
over
the past 2 years, and we're even this second anniversary.
That's right.
But in crisis, we have the opportunity to show up.
We have the opportunity
to be compassion, to meet practical needs, to meet people in their time of need, where we can love on them, where we can share the love and hope of Jesus. And we've been able to do that in some really significant ways. And we feel like God has prepared us as a church to be able to do that, that we can help resource that, that we have the people power. Through the last 2 years within the fires, it's been incredible to see the ways that our church has responded in that. We have a crisis right now of a pandemic. Wanted to mention that as well through our giveaway. We've helped in 12 countries
since
the pandemic to help feed people that, with food scarcity. They're on the verge, some of starvation in countries, and partnered with our organizations to do that. We've helped with loss of income in our organizations. And that's been incredible. But getting back to the fires, I'll end with this and just a story from that. We have a woman in our church named Martha, whose house burned down. She was pulled from the fire by firemen on the night of the fire in Old Agoura. And she's been a part of our church for a long time. She served in the adult special needs ministry. She's, I think, sung in the choir. And from the very beginning, we've been able to walk beside her, help her with motel stays at first, and then getting her into Airbnb, helping her sort through that. We've helped, been able to help her with FEMA. Our case managers, Michelle Wright, who's been leading us in these efforts, and our team there has just walked along her so well. Wow. Our Angel Threads ministry has provided clothing for her in that time, and many others. And through this process over the last 2 years, with these disaster relief funds, we were able to use some up front, and we've still had some where now we're getting to the rebuild stage. And so with Martha, and we're working with still about 10 families.
Back from 2018.
Back in 2018. And now it's time for Martha. Our volunteers have networked to get the plans in place. We have plans drawn. We worked with the city council in planning zones and commissions.
Incredible.
You can see the her new home that's about ready to be built, that we've been able to walk alongside her in that journey in this time of crisis, to be church to her and love her through it. And that's the opportunity that we've had, and we're going to continue to have as we help meet people in the time of crisis.
Yeah, one life at a time. And that's so beautiful in relationship. And I think that's a really beautiful thing. So Brian, with kind of running through those things, the final question I have for you this weekend is this. If folks are listening at home going, this is amazing, this is so incredible what Calvary does, how can I get involved? What are some next steps, or what are some ways people can get involved?
Yes, very practical. First thing, we've created a webpage called calvarywestlake.org/reach that's going to be a resource for you. And we hope you'll go on and check out this webpage, part of our website. You're going to learn more about what Reach is and the opportunities that exist. We've created a Reach group, which we hope an outcome from this weekend would be that as many people as we could sign up for this Reach group. Yeah. From that Reach group, we're going to be communicating the opportunities that come, where you can literally pick up a need. It's going to be a central communication place for us, where you can learn about what's going on and take actual needs.
Wonderful.
That's going to be great.
And you can sign up on that Reach website.
You can sign up on the Reach website. There's opportunities within our community, outreach ministries, our local partners.
Yep.
We've also included how you can serve here at Calvary in this church, from our care ministry to our special needs, student ministries, early childhood, our new seasoned adults ministry. And we this is a way that we can empower the church, that we can reach our community. And there's many ways that you can serve in the church and outside. And so we encourage you, there's opportunities there to look at it more. Also just want to encourage you to continue to give to the work that Calvary's doing. And through our general fund offerings, we're able to go, and we've gone to this year reaching 20%.
Incredible.
It was over $2 million that we're able to give. And it continues to fuel the work both here and around the world.
Yeah.
So thank you for your generosity. Continue to give toward the work that Calvary's doing. And finally, I'd ask you to pray. Spend some time even on the Reach website and looking at what's going on, and pray over what God would do in and through this church, and then ask God, what would you want to do in my life as I would extend my reach? How would you want me to extend my reach, even in this season of crisis? And so I encourage you to pray.
Amazing. Well, Brian, I want to thank you for your leadership in this area. I know you've been instrumental in what we've been doing in this area for years and years, been faithful, and God's used you in mighty ways. So I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for being a fellow Brian on staff here. Oh, yeah. I would love to take a moment to pray for you and to pray with all of you as we consider how we might be used by God to reach others. So let's pray right now. Father in heaven, thank you for your reach down to us. Thank you for being a God who reached out to us when we wanted nothing to do with you. We rejoice in that salvation. And God, we ask you for the courage and the wisdom and the humility to reach out to others, to be a part of what this church is doing, to extend your reach and extend your gospel to the very ends of the earth. God, may the gospel go forth. May disciples be made. May you be honored and glorified across this earth. And God, may we get to play a small part in doing that right here at Calvary as we reach out to others. So Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this weekend. Thank you for the opportunity to consider what you might do in and through our church. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You live among the least of these, the weary and the it would be a tragedy for me to turn away. As on my knees, you were supplied. When I was dead, you gave me life. How could I not give it away so freely? follow you into the world. We'll meet the needs of the poor and the needy, God.
Just as God reached down to us, so he's asking us to reach out into a world. And I pray that you've been stirred this weekend about what you've heard about the ways that God has been working as we reach out into our community and around the world. And we pray that that you'd be moved to say, God, how do I want to extend? How do you want to extend my life into the life of others and to extend my reach as I join in what's going? And we want you to do that. Again, I wanna suggest and encourage you to check out calvarywestlake.org/reach for those opportunities and reach with us as we continue to be empowered by God to reach a world that's in need of him. Thank you. We're gonna end with one last song of worship, and thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
Amen. Well, praise God, who is our King and is full of amazing grace for us all each and every day. We love you. Thank you all for joining us this weekend. We'll see you all next time.